Chapter 1, The View from the Window. I stood shivering, my forehead pressed to the front window of our row house over the butcher's shop on the Weimarstraat. A single leaf floated through the misty morning air. Just around the corner, patrolling the Franklinstraat, two German soldiers with rifles slung over their shoulders paced the red brick street, up and down, up and down. No other people were in view. "Mama," I called, "come quickly, what's going on outside?" My mother sat motionless with tightly folded hands and unfocused eyes. "Get away from that window, Meta," my father barked from across the room. I took a quick step back. My mother rose from her chair and pulled me still further away from the window. She picked me up, straining me tightly to her chest. Then no one spoke. I tried to peek outside over Mama's shoulder. The net curtains obscured my view. My father went to the window, watched for a few minutes, turned and silently beckoned Mama. She deposited me into her chair and joined him. After giving me a warning frown, my teenage sister Corey went to stand next to Mama. There they stood, all peering through the tiny crack between the net curtains, being very careful to remain concealed, and no longer watching me. Quickly, I took my chance, moving to the side of the window. My sister Sieglinde followed, whispering, "Meta, we're not allowed, we're too young." I ignored her. Pushing the heavy top curtain aside, I slipped behind it and looked out. Sieglinde took her usual place behind me, holding on to my dress and timidly peeking over my shoulder. The Nazi soldiers continued their marching, their black jackboots snapping an ominous rhythm audible through the drafty window. As the mantel clock chimed 12, the hair on the back of my head stood on end and my heart pounded in my ears. Sieglinde hyperventilated behind me. Just then I spotted a man coming down the Franklinstraat towards the Weimarstraat, pedaling his wooden-wheeled bicycle so furiously that his legs were a blur. Where could he be going all alone and in such a hurry? Momentarily distracted by my racing thoughts, the ear-piercing report of machine gun fire made me jump. Sieglinde gasped. The man fell to the ground, his bicycle slid away from under him. He lay flat on his back, in the center of an ever-growing circle of blood. My stomach clenched and cold sweat broke out on my forehead. "Swine," Papa hissed through his teeth. Mama murmured, "They were waiting for him," as she twisted her apron between her fingers. I turned back to the window, my eyes drawn as if by magnets, and my breaths almost deafening in the silence. The soldiers backed away while watching the man cautiously. "Cowards, afraid of a dead man," my father spat, his fists so tightly clenched that his knuckles were white. One of the soldiers pointed his machine gun from a distance and emptied it into the man's chest. After waiting for quite some time, both soldiers guardedly approached and turned the dead body over with their feet. My gorge rose as the second soldier, his boots now covered in blood, fired his entire magazine of bullets into the man's back. The soldiers retreated and waited again, all the while scrutinizing their handiwork. They appeared frightened. I wondered why. Were they genuinely expecting there to be any life left? After what seemed like an eternity, they once again approached the mangled corpse. Each soldier grasped one of the man's feet and they dragged him over the street and up onto the sidewalk, leaving a trail of blood in their wake. His arms flopped over his head and his face bounced on the pavement as they went. The soldiers slung the body into the ice cream parlor on the corner, as if he were just a piece of trash. They picked up his broken bicycle and threw it onto the sidewalk. There it remained, a forlorn testament to that day's activities. I let out a whimper. Sieglinde clutched my hand and trembled, while silent tears made rivers down her cheeks. Mama came over, knelt in front of us, and silently wiped our wet cheeks. Picking me up and holding my sister's hand, she took us back to her chair, well away from the offending window. I ensconced myself on my mother's cozy lap while Sieglinde sat on the chair arm. Mama silently enclosed us with her shaking arms. Corey stood with her head pillowed on Papa's shoulder, trying valiantly but unsuccessfully to gulp back her sobs. There were no words of comfort. There could not be any. I witnessed my first murder at just 6 years old. Even 80 years later, after learning to stand up under the jackboot, the memory makes me cry. But let me start at the beginning.